Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey everybody, how's it going? This is Justin Smith, the manager of user experience here at ThunderTech. We have a very special episode of Thundercast today. We'll get more into that in a little bit, but I am joined today by a couple of amateur podcasters here today. Let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
I'm Craig Israel, creative director at ThunderTech.
And Jason Therian, president of ThunderTech.
Woo! All right. Yay. Some familiar faces.
Voices.
Some familiar voices, right. That's right. Anyways, like I mentioned, we have a special episode today. We've got a pretty cool event that Jason has started around here at ThunderTech, and I want to get his take on it. And in the future, we're going to do more of these recaps. So Jason, tell us a little bit about Thinkers and Drinkers.
Yeah, so Thinkers and Drinkers was an idea that we had been sitting on for a while and had just launched last year. So we've done several of them now, and we just had one a couple days ago. So it's why we're doing this special podcast, right? Yeah. The idea was to bring in with our network of friends and clients and folks that we know inside the industry and even outside the industry, people that are leaders and innovators, to just have conversations, right? These are kind of fireside chats with leaders, big thinkers, folks doing it just a little differently than the next guy or gal. And part of it's education, part of it's inspiration, and you know, part of it's an excuse to have a happy hour earlier on a Wednesday.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, we're a marketing agency, right? But a lot of these topics are not directly tied to marketing, which is really great. It's kind of about innovation and new ideas.
Right. And I actually would argue that innovation and big thinking and this, you know, overused term of disruption are tied very much to marketing. Not last century's definition, but certainly this century's definition of how marketing has taken a much stronger forward lead at the table in getting into new markets, looking at the world basically in a bigger lens.
Yeah, marketing has kind of always been about creativity, and innovation Absolutely. Ties in with that so well. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us about who was here, topic?
Yeah. So for this last one, we invited David Gilbert in. And we've known David and have worked with some of the groups he's in charge of for last several years. So currently he's in charge of three organizations. Yes, man wears a lot of hats. The first one is the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission. And that group is in charge of bidding, attracting, also creating events that have economic impact for the Greater Cleveland and Northeast Ohio region. And they've had an excellent track record of that the last several years. The second organization that he is a CEO of is the Local Convention and Visitors Bureau, which is named Destination Cleveland.
So formerly Positively Cleveland.
Absolutely. So a lot of change that he's brought and evolution to that group over the last 4 years. Change that is actually being recognized on an international stage right now. So really exciting watching them approach their industry much differently than their peer sets. And then the third one, which we have also some experience in, was just recently named the CEO of the host committee for the Republican National Convention that will be held in Cleveland in 2016.
Dude's a busy guy.
Yeah.
This doesn't include his work within the Cleveland Illuminati.
Right, right on. Yes. And he serves on a bunch of boards and committees, and the guy manages his time better than anyone I've ever met.
But so much of that is really about Cleveland and about tourism, right? You know, the Sports Commission is about bringing events into Cleveland. Destination Cleveland is also about getting visitors and tourists and conventions to come here. And then obviously being the head of now the biggest convention I think that the city's ever seen, mm-hmm. is pretty important too. Let's talk a little bit about kind of his approach and I think his thoughts on event marketing, on marketing cities, and you know, where has that taken him?
Yeah, the thing I've really enjoyed about him and the organizations that he leads is there's this insatiable desire. Craig was talking about, you know, what he picked up out of it was, you know, what's next, right? How to innovate, how to keep growing, how to look at things through a different lens. The sports commissions, one of the things that struck me the first time I met him was that he introduced it as a economic development organization that happened to have sports wrapped around it. Right, that's much different approach than just saying I'm going to lure your event here and happens to be a certain sport. You just go about things a little differently. So he's done that in all three of them, and I think that's where we've jived so well together, our two groups.
So something that really struck me hearing David speak is it's not only about fueling the economy, it's about the events that are happening in Cleveland, the exciting things that are happening, changing the very zeitgeist, if you will, of Clevelanders, right? Something that David said is that there's a real different vibe downtown. I think we've felt it even with the clients that we touch and being in Cleveland, that Cleveland really had this hangdog, woe is me sort of attitude, and I think that's really, really turned around in the last couple of years. I mean, Cleveland is starting now to get all the national attention that it really deserves, and because we're Clevelanders, I think we're slow to adopt that, to step into the spotlight, but more and more it's become more positive.
Right. Well, and that's the interesting side, specifically on the Convention Visitors Bureau side, that you know, most CVBs or DMOs, as they're called, destination marketing organizations, traditionally would approach a problem like this from just a pure advertising. How do we just blow our way out of this misperception or these perception issues through just more advertising? We're just going to lean in harder. And that was not going to work. And frankly, nobody has enough money to any organization to ever do every single thing that they want. And I think that the different approaches that they took, that really embracing, saying, listen, this is who we are, and we love it. And if you don't like it, we're not going to apologize for it anymore. And it's fascinating how tides can turn when you're not embarrassed, when, you know, this is my product. This is my, you know, in their case, this is my place. And I'm going to show you all the great stuff, but I'm not going to hide or bury the bad stuff because that also makes us it too. And, you know, I think that applies to any organization, that every organization has good, bad, and indifference. And it's what you do with them, how you handle it, how you manage it, that I think really starts to separate winners and losers over time.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, what I'm thinking about is just Cleveland in general. Craig, like you mentioned, I mean, we're really ho-hum about ourselves, Clevelanders. We're very humble. And, you know, the Midwestern vibe is kind of just to not boast and to be proud. Destination Cleveland specifically has really changed that, though. I mean, with this whole rebrand that they've done, they've changed the way that Clevelanders should be talking about themselves, right? Like, stand up and be proud and own it, who you are, and don't be ashamed. You know, and they're doing a bunch of events and things around town, too, to just really blow up that Cleveland pride. And it's really interesting that they've driven so much of that shift.
Yeah, they had to put just the magnifying glass over it for locals, right? That and they had to almost give us permission to speak well of these things. You know, take something as positive as our food scene. It was best kept secret nationally up until a couple of years ago. Yes, restaurants have increased, but we still had the same ones that they're now writing about. Right, they put a microscope over these positives, and then allowed the amplification to happen through their own user base. Right, the population here, the residents, the citizenry, you know, and that's something that's a very interesting Midwestern issue: is our nose to the grindstone and a lack of promotion. And they've really, I think, given us that permission to talk well about those things that are well.
I think that's exactly it. Clevelanders, in particular, don't like to brag about Cleveland, and we need people from outside of the city to tell us 10, 20 times that the city's awesome before we start to internalize it and say the same things.
Let's change gears a little bit here and talk about the RNC, the Republican National Convention. So that's coming to Cleveland, right? 2016? Lots of press?
That's the rumor, yeah.
So first of all, let's talk a little bit about, you know, how did why is it coming to Cleveland? I mean, how did we land it?
So full transparency, ThunderTech had some involvement with the initial pitch to the RNC to get them in Cleveland. So what we heard through official channels is that the fact that Ohio is a swing state had nothing to do with their determination. I am dubious that having the country's most important swing state host your committee didn't play into the decision, at least to some point. But if we're to believe what they tell us at face value, they were looking for a fantastic event, first and foremost. And Cleveland happened to have everything they were looking for. One of the big motivating factors, from what I understand, is how compact the city is, that you could have major venues, hotels, places for the media, restaurants, entertainment, et cetera, all within a small footprint instead of having, like they've done in other cities, have to drive an hour to get between venues.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting that so much of it were about the details and a lot of logistics. And yes, whether you know you want to believe certain things or not really doesn't matter. It's coming here. And I think it's also a testament to the organizations that came together was they got very creative. Right? So not everyone can stay in the compact area. Much of the convention can stay there, but in any convention with 50,000 people, there's typically spillover. So how do you get those people back and forth? And how do you also build trust? Not just show me a creative idea, but an organization as big as the Republican Party actually hands a lot of responsibility over. And so it's quite a bit of trust that you're also selling. And that seemed to come through very well. And organizations working together to creatively solve problems and stand up together in a cohesive way and not let politics get, overshadow what the real goal was, it was convincing.
You know, I think that's really interesting that it seems like the politics of this are almost beside the point. All these organizations you spoke of came together because they see the opportunity that it gives Cleveland, right? It's not just picking who the Republican candidate's going to be for the next election. It's bringing in hundreds and hundreds of delegates and family members and media and onlookers, and all of those people bring their wallets with them. So it's going to be they pump. What's the projection? What did Tampa get as far as?
It's hundreds of millions.
Hundreds of millions of dollars, potential new revenue being pumped into the city.
But again, I think that's where, going back to David and the organizations, they've thought differently. It's not just the event. It's what that event can do for us, both leading up to it and past it, too. So bringing 15,000 credentialed media members into our fair region, you know, we're going to have to do something with them. So let's show them a good time, tell them a good story, and continue this upward trajectory of where we're going as a region. And that's where I think a lot of places would have just stopped. They said, well, our job is to put on an event, and that's it. The media will come, and maybe they'll say nice things. That's fine. But I think we're looking at it as a much longer-term, gigantic can of gas to drop on the fire that's already started here.
So it's interesting to note that outside of the Olympics, the RNC is the largest event in the world. So it's no small thing. And I think it's, getting back to David Gilbert, it's to his credit that he can look forward, look past that. Because if I were him, I would be, pooping my pants trying to figure out how to get this working in 2016.
Right.
But something he said is that the RNC, he sees it as a runway, not a destination. So he's already thinking, how do we leverage this for the next big event, right? It's going to be huge in 2016, no doubt. But what's that look like in 2020 and 2025?
Yep. That's the beautiful thing about innovative and next big thing type of thinking is that it's just how you put the lens on it. So I really enjoyed having him in here to talk to the team.
Yeah, and I mean, where do we go from here, though, right? If this is the second biggest media event in the world, like, what, we have the Olympics to get in 4 years, and then what? And then we've peaked. Like, that's it, right?
So I don't know if we approach it as what is the bigger thing we can get, right? It's the Olympics, and then what? The World's Fair?
Do they even do that anymore? I don't know.
It happens all the time.
Okay.
But I mean, there are exciting things happening still, like the renovation of Public Square. I mean, I'm personally super excited about what that's going to look like when it all comes together. And you know, what else? What else?
Well, I think you know it just goes back to, if you will, excuse the academics here, but like organizational psychology, right? That if we can host the senior games and bring in 20,000 people, and then the gay games, the next, you know, iteration, and bring in 30,000 people, you know, to pull in 50,000 for the RNC is not that enormous of a leap. It's a different event, but it's still a lot of bodies that you got to move through and take care of a lot of details for. So I think that, again, it creates that runway that Craig was talking about that gives us more confidence to, A, go after big things with that confidence we can get them done, and, B, also create more opportunities along the way, because we know that, A, we can do it, we deserve it, and, you know, it's such a powerful item.
So there's one more thing I want to talk about. Before we started recording here, we were chatting a little bit about this notion of the place as a product. And I think that's a really innovative idea in terms of destination marketing, not just thinking about the city as a city, but like, how do we sell it, you know, package it up nicely and market it as a thing that you need to experience. So can you tell us a little bit, Jason, about this notion of the place as a product?
Yeah, and I think that it's happening in other industries right now where product companies are looking at themselves more as experience providers. So it may still be a running shoe, but I'm selling you software attached to it. So all of a sudden it becomes something bigger than just the tangible piece. And Destination Cleveland happens to be just on the beginning stage of how I think more CVBs and DMOs and other cities are going to start looking at themselves as a product, right? Because if you look at the product, then you can back the experience into that product. If you just look at the experience side, you know, the product affects that. So it's looking at it, you know, kind of in a very whole lens, and again, just coming at it from a different angle.
So I think core to that is the idea that all the parties involved play nice with each other, right? If I'm the Cleveland Zoo, I can't say that I only care if you come and go to the zoo, right? So I do care if there's restaurants in the area, if there's lodging in the area, right? And maybe all these people come together and then start to support Cleveland as a whole experience, like you said, Jason, not just a day trip to the zoo or a trip to a Browns game, but it's
comprehensive.
Right.
And I think that's another kind of Midwestern thought, right? That we're all in this together. We all want to collaborate and help each other out, regardless of.
Look, we're not Californian hippies. I wouldn't go that far.
No offense to our clients in LA.
Yes, that works for them.
But what I do really like about this notion of a place as a product too is the ability to kind of look beyond just traditional event marketing or destination marketing to market an event or a destination. Looking beyond just what you deal with day in, day out, and looking to other industries or other examples that are completely unrelated and pulling inspiration from them and pulling, you know, things that have worked really well for them that, you know, maybe don't make a ton of sense to bring in, but how can you interpret that to help solve your own problem? Which is, you know, I mean, that's a thing that we try and do a lot around here. It just kind of mashing up these things that don't necessarily fit together and seeing what we can learn from it and what we can build from that.
Yeah, it's an integrated approach, even though destination marketing don't typically say integrated. Right.
Cool. Well, I think that's all we've got time for. Anybody have any closing thoughts? All feeling good? All right, thumbs up all around. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. As always, be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher if you liked what you heard. Additionally, you can hit us up on Twitter. We are at ThunderTech. We'd love to hear your feedback on the episode, thoughts on what you'd like to hear in the future. If you want to just tweet us and tell us how fantastic we are, we will take that as well. Thanks, everybody.